It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Jones Zone. Keller Williams Realty, Chris and Brian Jones. Brian's not here. I'm flying solo today due to family illness. But I do have a guest in the studio with me, BB Janish. She is a licensed Heal Your Life workshop leader and coach. She offers one-on-one coaching to clients, leads personal growth workshops, and performs public speaking for groups. Her programs encourage others to create a life full of meaning and purpose, joy and freedom, and peace and abundance. BB, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
So I gave you kind of a brief introduction. Why don't you give us a little bit of your history and your background and tell us what got you into the coach and personal growth industry.
Okay. Thank you. I've always been interested in personal growth and always have had questions since I can remember, like, why do people even work to begin with?
Tell me about it.
So it's just been kind of a natural, but in terms of background, I have spent about 30 years in healthcare in an administrative position, working mostly with physicians. And prior to that, I've done some other things in terms of won a car in Mary Kay, have been an executive director of a planning district, and mostly a mom. Three kids.
Most importantly, right?
Yeah, right. Have grandkids. And really what brought me to this is healthcare has changed so drastically. And in the last few years, working with physicians, I've just seen so much how the environment you're in affects healing. And so for me, it's part of finishing a master's degree that I have that's in transformational leadership and social change, and really has a lot to do with how to be a healing presence and looking at how our words can be used as medicine, and that there are all mental causes that show up in our bodies as disease. Western medicine would call it. I would call it dis-ease. And so just always been fascinated with the power of our brain and our mind and our thoughts and how that affects our lives. So really wanted to make a switch and do something that I felt like was really helping others heal.
Okay.
In a way that's really meaningful, and found this avenue. It's really based on Louise Hay, if anyone's familiar with her work, and love it. So I'm having a wonderful time seeing amazing results and shifts in people's lives, and really consider it a privilege, honestly, to be with people and kind of hold a confidential space to take a look at what's going on in their life and what it is they want to create.
So when you were in an administrative position, did you interact with clients that came to the hospital or to the physician's office?
I did a lot of physician recruitment and physician services. So I really worked with building relationships, getting physicians to come to the communities that I was in at the time, and then really following up and helping them acclimate and do what they could to adjust to the communities and take good care of their patients. So really, really in essence, it's a relationship
and building. But did you feel like there was something missing in the treatment plan of these patients?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then, so you went to school for this?
My master's, what really drew me to my master's was it said that it was a program where your deepest desire and the world's greatest hunger intersects.
Okay. All right.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
So in essence, what that really is what's your greatest gift, and what is it that the world needs, and how do you serve in that way?
So you were sitting there and you thought, something's missing, I want to explore it more, I'm going to go get my master's degree. And now you're a licensed life coach, right? How do you get that license? Is it
training?
Okay. Yeah. A certain amount of hours under the the program.
Okay. Yes.
So what is life coaching? How do you explain that to people?
You know, I think life coaching is really looking at how can I support others in what it is that you want to do? And I believe that we all have the answers within. And what I do is really listen for the answers that you already have and just help you kind of guide you back to that. So to me, life coaching is really living your best life, like one where you don't feel like you're just going through the motions and you're not completely burned out and you actually are excited about what you do and you know how what you do serves others and brings you great meaning and is rewarding and fun.
How does someone get involved with your do you work off referrals or how do people find you and stuff? I mean, you don't just walk around saying, who needs help? Who needs personal growth?
Right. You know, interestingly enough, I believe that that people are always drawn together. There's always a reason. So part of this in my coaching is that somehow things line up and I can't explain it. It's a source that I believe in that and an energy that we create that kind of draws to us what we're thinking about and what we're excited about. So get a little help in that way. And also a lot of what I do is on affirmations and what we speak really does create our future. And this has been probably one of the most amazing realizations to me. So I affirm that I am coaching, that the right people come to me, that I'm able to help and serve. And we actually do create that business. So I do speaking engagements and, you know, have a website, do some direct and email pieces, that type of thing. And now that I'm new in Charlotte, I'm really at that place of starting this all again.
Yeah.
So it's just getting the word out, I guess, to people of what I do. And those who, and if it's something that resonates with you, you know it. Yeah. So those who are interested, I do a free consultation with. And you'll know at the end of that if this is something that seems like you're ready for.
So you mentioned you're new to Charlotte. What brought you to Charlotte? Why don't you share that story? I know it, but it's too good not to share.
It's a great story. Yeah. Thanks. I was thinking about it on my way over here, actually. And 4 years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, I was still living in Virginia. Have an oldest son who lives in Minneapolis with his wife and kids. And had done some work in Charlotte. And so I just kept saying kind of out to the universe, to God, whatever you want to call it, that Charlotte, just Charlotte, and I would let it go. And my intent was that my son and his family would move here and I would be close to grandkids. But what I was thinking about driving over here today is, here I am in Charlotte now. My daughter at the time was living in Baltimore. She lives here and had her first baby, and that's what brought us to Charlotte. So sometimes what we're saying works out even in better or different ways than what we've planned.
And that's the law of attraction?
Yes.
What about, you mentioned spirituality or God and stuff like that. How do you incorporate that into what you do, or do you at all? Or is that by the individual, or...?
I believe that we all have what I would call our true self.
Okay.
And I think that we all know when we're aligned with it. And so you can call that whatever is right for you. So some may call that God or their soul, spirit. But we have a part of us that's more like our ego that makes up ways to keep us safe. And we've done that based on things we've learned before. And then we have this place where you know when you're in it. It's like when you're in the zone, when you're aligned, when things just feel really good and you know it's right. And it will always be good. So it's really helping people get aligned with that. And that is spiritual. I believe it's also energetic. And a lot of time, and I use meditation, which can come in a lot of different forms, but just to help access that quiet, deep knowingness inside. So it's like the gut feeling you have when you just know something and you might not be able to explain it.
How long have you been meditating?
You know, I've been meditating off and on for several years, but in my training, I really came to a place. We were all meditating at sunrise on the beach with this incredible teacher, and I just had such a great experience then with the energy that was there that I really realized this is something that I need to do, want to do, and do every morning. And one of my teachers called it RPMs to get your day started. So it was rise, pee, meditate.
Rise, pee, meditate. How long do you do it for? I think meditating is hard. I can't.
It is hard.
I tried it, and my mind goes all sorts of places. I feel like sometimes it works in reverse, because then I start thinking about stuff, and then I got the music playing, but I can't space out yet. How long does it take to practice? Like, how long do you have to do it to get good at it?
Well, that always happens. So those thoughts are always going to be there, and they're always going to come. And the first time I did it, I practically had a panic attack.
That's more like me.
I wanted to get up and run out of this little room we were in to do it, and I was thinking I was doing my yoga and I was all zenned out.
Yeah.
And I honestly had that fight or flight thing big time. So, you know, there's just meditation can take many forms. So one easy way is just counting your breaths. Like, just breathe into the count of four, hold it for four counts, breathe out four counts, four more counts. And that breath actually helps us just get a little more quiet.
Okay.
So that's something easy you can do wherever you are, anytime, and that's really a form of meditation.
And how long do you do it for? You said you do it for a couple hours, right?
I am now doing about an hour or maybe two. I get up very early.
Like, what are we talking here, 4, 5?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. There's just something quiet and good at that time, and I also think it helps me because there's not already so many other distractions going on.
At that hour of the day, you can shoo away the raccoons from the garbage and stuff outside. Okay, cool. Have you tried flotation therapy?
I have not.
Brian got me into that. Brian goes to this place called Buoyance in Charlotte, and what you do is you get into this tank, and it's full of salt water, like 10,000 pounds worth of magnesium, whatever it's called, and you just get in there and you float. You know, it's sensory deprivation, so you can't see anything or feel anything other than the water. The water is the same temperature as your body, so it's like 97 or whatever, and you're literally just floating there, and you can't see or hear anything else, and it's pretty intense. When I did it, I really enjoyed it. When I had my eyes open, it felt like I was in the galaxy or something. Like, I had like stuff going by me that looked like stars or something, like I was in a spaceship. But when I had my eyes closed, I didn't have that effect. But it's really interesting. Brian's done it 3 or 4 different times. I've done it once, and it was pretty cool. Yeah, you should check that place out. It's Buoyance. It's pretty neat. They got all sorts of stuff, like massages. Do you get massages and stuff, too?
I do.
Okay. They got all sorts of stuff like that. They got acupuncture. And
my daughter's an acupuncturist.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do all sorts of stuff. What's her name?
Marissa.
Okay, I don't know her. Okay, so if someone says, you know, gee whiz, I think I could use a life coach. What are some of the programs? What would they expect for you? Is it they sign up for like an 8 to 10 week thing, 1 hour a week, or what's that actually look like?
Okay, if you want to do personal coaching, then what I do is just meet with you, and it's a complimentary 1 hour time, and I'll just ask some questions and learn a little bit more about you and what it is you really want to do, and then see how I think I might be able to support you. And if it feels right and you want to move forward with that, then my coaching packages start with usually a 12-week commitment once a week for an hour. And I've really found the more that I work with people that it takes that commitment to really get to the place where you make some huge shifts and really notice some lasting change and difference in your life. And I have clients who have gone 24 sessions, or by another 12, or at the end of 12 say we're good. I started doing some with six, and if it was something really specific that you wanted coaching on, that might work. But if you're really looking more for that inner change, and our inner world is what creates the outer world, it takes at least 12 weeks to get to a place.
What's the goal of the program? I mean, you don't hand them a packet, here's your syllabus and your agenda. I mean, how do you guys decide what you're going to dive into, or is that custom per person?
It's you decide, yeah. And I really follow you. And there's tools and techniques, you know, to help get you to where you want to be. But I really am in listening for your own wisdom that I talked about earlier, that we do all have the answers within. We may not all be accustomed to listening to that voice. And I would bet that every one of us can give one example of a time when we heard that little voice, or we were like, I should have done this, and I didn't, and things didn't work out, or I did, and yeah. Things went great. So we're really, so people have different things each week. They fill out a form, both a pre-coaching and a post-coaching, just a few questions. And they'll tell me what's the challenge this week. So we may be working on something general and something else comes up during the week, and that's what you want to focus on, then we do that. But really it's sitting down and kind of an overall goal of what it is you want to achieve, and then I just kind of help direct.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different is I'm not telling you what to do. I'm really listening for what you already know, and helping you to find those thought patterns that are keeping you from doing what it is you really want,
yeah.
And know you want to do.
So you're not giving a man a fish, you're teaching him how to fish, right?
Exactly.
Just kinda, so if someone comes to you and says, I want to quit smoking, I want to be a better spouse, a better husband, you just kind of help them realize what they should be.
Yeah, I mean, some of my clients, as we've come, have lost weight, have gone mm-hmm. on and done some things like that. That wasn't even what they were coming to me necessarily for.
He's like, you've changed my perspective on everything. Treating myself better. I'm doing this.
Well, and when you let go of thoughts and things that aren't helping you, I always say aren't serving you, weight drops off
mm-hmm.
as well. It's amazing. In my own case, just leaving the corporate world that wasn't working great for me anymore, and where I didn't feel aligned and like I was a match and able to do what I really wanted to and serve in a way that felt good to me, I lost about 10 pounds.
Have you ever had to help someone make the shift from thinking that the law of attraction and all that sort of stuff was kind of hogwash? Have you had any cases like that where whether or not a spouse made them do it or whatever, they didn't want to do it, and then they got into it and were just like, oh man, I feel a lot better?
Yes, it's a process, and we go through it over and over again, and life is. You know, we don't, you know, like I'm not at a place, even though I totally believe that we create our life, and what we speak really matters. And if you stopped right now and said, what thought are you having? That's what you're creating in the future. So, you know, life is kind of up and down, and it's really helping us catch ourselves when we are having those thoughts that aren't good. And a lot of times people with affirmations will say, well, I don't believe that. And I'm, you know, you can't just say it and make it happen. And it's not that easy. It's also having some real feeling behind it, and what you really want to change and do really matters. But you wouldn't need to say the affirmation if you already believed it.
So when you say affirmations, you literally say them out loud? Like, do you go look at yourself in the mirror and stuff and say,
mm-hmm.
and say
mm-hmm.
I'm going to change someone's life today or whatever? You don't have to share what it is. But
right. No, it's interesting that you said look in the mirror, because Louise Hay's work, in fact, she just has a new book out on mirror work, has a lot to do with looking in the mirror. And one of them is to look in the mirror and say, I love you just the way you are.
Okay.
And I have people who can't do it. It's very common at first, who can't even look in there. So
really?
It's like I'm willing to.
I can't even fake it.
And then, you know, there's people like me who look in the mirror and say, I love you just the I need Botox right here. So it's easy for us to pick out the things that we don't like, and we concentrate on those often instead of the things we do.
You remember the old Saturday Night Live skit with Stuart Small?
Yes.
I'm smart enough and doggone it, people like me.
Exactly. So there are affirmations for health reasons too, and certain ones for certain things that happen in your body, just to help saying them over and over, because a belief is really only a thought that we think over and over and over so much that we believe it's true. And we think something like 70,000 thoughts a day, and almost 90% of them are the same thoughts over and over. So really everything's an affirmation, like whatever we speak, and it's like God says yes, yes. So if you say, I'm too fat, I'm too fat, it's like we keep, I'm too fat, we're holding that. Mm-hmm. If we say, I'm healthy and thin and strong, then that starts to shift. And there's actual proof now from MRIs of the brain of how retraining, we can actually retrain our brain, and you can see the difference on an MRI scan.
Wow. Who does that?
So Joe Dispenza has a book called How to Break the Habit of Being Yourself.
Okay.
Might not be exactly the title.
Something like that. Okay.
And he's got a lot of meditation, and it's actually one I did this morning, but it's on how the neurons that fire together like stay and you keep in that same place. So like a lot of us get up every morning at the same time and get out of bed on the same side of the bed and brush our teeth first, mm-hmm. and do everything the same, drive to work the same way, get to work the same people, push our buttons.
Yeah.
We hurry up, go home, have dinner, try to do things with the kids to get them to bed so we can get up and do the exact same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, I know. Interesting. So who are some of the, you mentioned Louise Hayes obviously a couple times, who are some other people that you guys look to for influence, and where do you pull some of your curriculum from, and who are some of the people you guys?
Well, a lot of my master's degree was really based on ancient wisdom, so that's like Lhotse and a lot of different religions where it kind of crosses, and it's based on how we're really all one and a part of nature and the seasons. So I have a lot of my influences from that. I am a big Deepak Chopra fan. I have been for a long time. So a lot of his teachings
have influenced
a lot of mine. You know, Deepak has a book on everything. Okay. His latest one right now is called You Are the Universe.
Okay. Are you into Tony Robbins at all?
Some, but I think that the work that I do is, I'm not quite sure how to help differentiate it for people. It's really inner work, and when I say that, what I mean is it really is what's going on inside of us is what's happening outside. So part of the fun and part of the amazing part of what I see with people is we think life happens to us. What I believe is it's actually happening for us. And when a situation comes up with somebody, I can give you an example from my past. I was sitting in my office and this guy came up to my door and just started telling me things, and I just felt this like heat come from my feet, like shoom, right up my body. And I looked and I actually had fists.
You were clenching your fists.
And I thought, what? My body's giving me a strong reaction here. What's the lesson? And when I thought about it, I was like, well, it's because he always thinks he's right.
Yeah.
And then when I realized life is a mirror and is like holding that up to me, it took me about 3 seconds and I was like, oh man, I think I'm right. And in that situation, I looked over some numbers and I had made a mistake, and I was ready to stand on the table and tell you how right I am. So he kept me from doing that. And once I realized that, it's like, okay, that's how life is all the time. So a lot of the coaching is taking a look at what's happening in our life and then shifting to look at it in just a whole different way than we've been taught and that we're used to.
How do you keep yourself so consistent in terms of practicing what you preach and I mean, obviously you meditate, but you do a lot of self-reflection and journaling, or what do you kind of check some balances for yourself?
Well, you know, it comes and goes for me like everyone else. And meditation is my absolute, I do it every day. That's like a non-negotiable for me. Mm-hmm. I do some type of physical exercise, usually in the morning. I try to pay attention to what I eat. I do a gratitude journal every night, so I always write. I started out writing three things, and now it just goes to a page of what I'm grateful for that day. Those are some of the things that I guess I do on a consistent basis.
I made my son start a gratitude journal. I need to shift it back to him just doing it regularly, because I didn't mean for it to happen, but it's almost turned into a punishment. Like, it's something that when he's having an attitude or some sort of problem, I make him go get his journal. So I need to fix that, right? I should probably make it just so that it's something that's on top of his mind, and he doesn't associate it with some sort of punishment. Because then it's just like an assignment. It's not really something he's processing.
Interesting how we do that.
Yeah, because I like to journal a lot, too. And I go through phases where I'll wake up, and you know what I like to do? I like to sit in the sauna at the gym. And I put my wireless Bluetooth phones on so I can have my phone playing some music without taking it into the sauna with me. That's something I like to do.
Music is a huge healing, has a huge healing aspect, I believe, too. And part of my coaching, I just say, we do sessions, and then you get random things from me. So I really
Beatles
like
kind of
listen to what I think you need, and some things come to me, and so you might get a random song that I think may speak to you or whatever. So music is definitely a part of, you know, what I do. And then I used to really journal a lot, and what I found out I was doing then was really focusing on negative things. Like I would be writing, you know, I want this to change or this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, I just switched completely to gratitude and only writing those things. And I have years of gratitude journals.
Yeah,
now.
That's what I'm going to do too.
And it's cool to go back and look
yeah.
at that, especially when you're having one of those not so great.
Yeah, that was one of my resolutions, was to journal more, because I wanted to, you know, my wife, she is starting her own business, and Brian and I have our own business, so I almost wanted to document a to show, you know, to write gratitude and stuff. I do believe in that, and I do that, but then also to look back on it years from now and be like, oh man, yeah, I remember we were doing that podcast way back in 2017, and we've done 400 podcasts. Do you remember that? I can look here and be like, oh man, February 12th we did that podcast. It was number 11 or whatever it is. So I think that's part of it too. Do you think you were trying to set goals and that just became negative, like you wanted to change stuff?
No, I've never been a very good
goal
person. I think I really just have always, honestly, I just want to feel good. And when
yeah.
we feel good, good things come to us in a better way, and I think we're more open to receive them. So for me, it really was just concentrating, and it still is, because when I find myself way more often than I would like, just focusing on starting my business is a great example. It's like, oh my God, what if I don't have any clients?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I catch that right away, then I can say, wait a minute, what makes me feel better? It's like, well, yeah, I'm getting clients, they're coming, it's good, you know, use
yeah.
them, talk more about that and feel it, it's different. But if I don't, then I can let my head go like so far down the road that, you know, no one will ever talk to me again in the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, and we do that a lot. So a lot of what I teach, I guess, or help coach is really awareness, and just really being aware of our thoughts.
What's the end game for one of your clients? I mean, I know it's, you've got lengths of the program, whether it's 6, 12, or 24, but how do you track their progress if you're not measuring goals and stuff, or do you guys do that in the program?
There are goals. I mean,
okay.
they all have their own, like, what they want to accomplish, and it takes us, and really, it's just up to you. It's
yeah.
it's when you get to this place where we're kind of done with this coaching place, then you'll know if, okay, like this has made a shift and it feels really good, and I think I'm good now. It's great. And if there's something more that you want to continue to work on, it's kind of like an iceberg. One of my clients was like, wow, what we started with she thought was great, and she's like, now I realize that was kind of the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. kind of the surface stuff. And so she wanted to, you know, do more, and so we're kind of going to that part that's underneath the water now.
Yeah.
And there's always deeper things to look at. So it really is an individual, like I said before, I'm really following your lead on where you want to go yeah. with this. And when you feel it's right or done, then...
Yeah, I like the iceberg metaphor. I've seen that around a few times, especially when I was in the social work industry, because you'd see there what the behaviors were, but you know what made that manifest into kids' temper tantrum or whatever. So tell us a little bit about some of your speaking engagements. What are those? If someone wants to hire you for speaking, I mean, what does that look like? You come up there and on stage and talk, and that's it, or is it a program that they go through, or how's that work?
You know, I really am a believer, I guess, in not things just set completely a certain way. So even with my coaching, there are certain exercises and things that help with different ways, and I like to call them growth practices that we do and look at. But I really do rely on my own inner guidance and voice in what to do. And so with speaking and programs, my preference is to do kind of the same thing, to say, what is it that you want, what's going to serve you the best, and then this is how I can design it.
So is that normally like a business owner saying, gee whiz, I have a morale problem, I need to have somebody come in and kind of help us out, and that's when you, or are you like a motivational speaker, or do you do like a workshop, or how does, what would that look like exactly?
You know,
or it just depends.
Those are great questions, right? It really kind of depends on where I'm at or what we're doing. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of my master's degree is really, I mentioned, was transformational leadership. So I do have a somewhat of a program that's really based on, and it sounds strange, I think, but it's really based on like the seasons and how we are all a part of that. And so there's a way to do leadership to look at that. And there are things based on we're all one versus competitive. And so it's looking at ways to bring kind of a new style of leadership. But again, I would really listen to what it was you were wanting to accomplish and see how we could bring that. So if you have a group of people that, you know, and I saw it in healthcare a lot, in physicians in particular, you're really trained, so talk about beliefs, right? To be competitive, you have to be to get through med school and
mm-hmm.
and survive. But once you're done with that, now you're out in practice and you're expected to be a team player. So how do you switch those beliefs and look at how do you work together? So the leadership piece, really, I guess my belief is that every culture in a company or organization begins with each one of us individually. So I think that there's some growth, you know, like peace in the world starts with peace within. When I can stop that war inside me of the thoughts we talked
mm-hmm.
about going back and forth, and I find that peace, then I'm a part of the world and I'm giving peace that way. Does that make sense?
I think I was just curious because it seems like what you do would be so in depth, or to like really help people would have to be more than a one time
thing. We do, I have like power thought cards.
Okay.
I have some with me. So, and I don't know why that popped into my head right now, but it's like, even at work where I was, like we all have an opportunity to make a difference and to show up as what's missing wherever we are. So people would come to my office when I was in the hospital, and they're just cards with positive good thoughts on them. And you just shuffle them and you just draw one for the day. And as I learn and study more about energy, I really do believe now that we're drawing to us what we need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it just would be fun, and people would come in, and it's like, this is exactly what I need to hear today. So there's ways to change where we're at and what we're doing in a positive way, just by little small things. And then programs, I guess, for speaking, again, would be even doing something as it seems as small as that in the workplace made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
People would be lining up outside my office and be like, I want my card.
I need it now. You don't even understand. Like, give me my coffee and give me my thought card.
Yeah.
That's funny. Very cool. I'll have to check those out. Yeah. Power thought cards. Louise Hayes. Or, no, it's Hay, not Hayes.
Yeah. So, can I just show you this quick? So, it's like, do you want to do it?
Yeah, let's do one.
So, you just shuffle like this till however long you feel like you're done, and you just pull one from wherever you want. I want you to shuffle them.
Oh, okay.
So I want your energy in those. And then just have that intent of, I want the message I need to hear.
I don't know why I'm closing my eyes. I feel like that'll help for some reason.
I always feel like that helps.
All right, I'm just going to take the one off the top.
So it'll be on both sides.
Okay. I bless my home with love. I put love in every corner, and my home lovingly responds with warmth and comfort. I am at peace.
Look around.
My home is a peaceful haven. I do feel like that, actually. So just kind of a second to help you kind of, take a minute and have some perspective.
Right, and home is a word. It's interesting to me you drew that one. And part of my training and part of what we do with coaching, like a lot of people will say, what's your purpose? You know, are you living your purpose? And in my training, a lot of what we did was like, what's my promise? Which means, how am I going to take the gifts I have and serve into the world? And there's a way of speaking it. And mine is, I promise, IBB, Janish promise, that wherever I am, no matter what, in my presence, life will show up as home.
Oh, wow.
And home to me means that inner place, that real self that we are. It also means the place where you're accepted just the way you are, unconditionally. And it relates perfectly. So thank you. You drew a great card.
And I'm a real estate agent, so I sell homes.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, there was one other question that I wanted to ask you. Oh, yeah, I remember. I wanted you to talk about your opinion on how everything connects. So, physical injury, power of positive thinking, and just if you can speak on that a little bit about how you think, if you do or not, how you think everything intertwines. Like, I was watching this documentary. I think the guy's name was Warren or something. It was like the Miracle Man. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
So this guy, he got into a plane crash. And he lost, he was in the hospital forever. He finally woke up out of his coma. He could only move from his shoulders down. They told him he was going to be paralyzed, whatever. But he slowly, as he was in the hospital, I think he was reciting a bunch of Zig Ziglar stuff. And just over and over and over. And he was like, I'm not going to leave this hospital until I can walk. Well, they gave him a deadline for when he needed to actually get out of the hospital, and he met his thing. Like, he went from never being able to walk and doing all this sort of stuff ever again, you're gonna be paralyzed, blah blah blah, to actually getting out of there, doing the rehab, and walking out on his own 2 feet. So that was interesting to me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We really do have the power to heal ourselves, and all of the medications that you can buy, our body has the ability to make those and heal itself. And, if you think about it, we're not telling yourself to breathe every day or your heart mm-hmm. to beat. I mean, there is a force, there's a power of something there that's just keeping that all going, that also keeps the sun rising and the moon coming out and the stars, So we really are a part of all of that. So I do really believe we're all one, connected, and that our bodies are amazing, and we think about them often that they are breaking down like a machine, but they really are giving us constant clues. It's almost like an internal GPS, and it gives us messages all the time. So when I talked before about being aligned with with your spirit, mm-hmm. your soul, whatever you want to call it, then you know when you're there, things feel good, you're happy, you feel love for people, it's good. When you get off of that, you don't. You're worried, you're anxious, you're whatever the case may be. But it shows up in your body in some way. So really learning how to be aware of, and I'm like the perfect example of someone who lived like totally in my head. You know, like,
what do you mean?
So much going on in there all the time. Okay. Like just thinking all the time, you know, like just blah, 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 blah. So to learn how to start saying, where does that show up in your body, was really was challenging for me initially. So this is an example, like if you're making a decision on something you can't decide, one quick easy way to do this is to sit in the chair and say, I allow myself to do this. And then get up and sit in another chair and say, I allow myself not to. And you just like pay attention to what shows up in your body. And you will clearly, one will feel better or different than another, and you'll know where you feel it, whether it feels good or doesn't. Yeah. So our bodies give us messages all the time. And what happens is when we're too busy, like I said, like taking the kids here, going to work, like, you know, all our heads in there, we're not present in the moment, we don't pay attention. And if you don't pay attention long enough, then your body has to get our attention another way, so it screams louder and louder. So for me, I used to get migraine headaches, the kind where I'd have the aura and I might see half of you and it would put me out for a day. And I don't know how I discovered this. I honestly don't. But somehow I realized if I woke up in the morning and my right nostril was plugged.
Wow. Plugged. Okay.
I'm like, that was a clue. I'm eating wrong, sleeping, something I was doing. And if I take care of that, I haven't had a migraine for a long time. But I didn't notice that was even happening, because that's what I mean by being so caught up in my head and what's going on. So our bodies are always giving us clues, and they're really associated with a lot of mental thought patterns that we have. So part of the training that I have in Heal Your Body is, and I ask every time when I'm coaching, is your body giving you any messages? So if what happens is something will show up in your body, maybe as pain or something that you have constantly, or maybe you don't. So we look at those probable mental causes that show up in certain places in your body. Mm. And then the affirmations are a part of changing that. And it's powerful. It can be really powerful.
All right, we're at about 45 minutes. I could talk to you all day, but we're going to have to stop. Let's catch you back in a couple months. I want Brian to Brian's into this stuff as much as I am. I want him to sit down with you as well. And all right, how people can get in touch with you? bebejanish.com, bebejanish.com. I appappreciate you coming. Let's do this again.
Love to.
In a couple months.
Love to.
All right,
thank you
cool.
so much.
Awesome.
My
thank
pleasure.
You so much. BB Janish, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.